morning and welcome. I'm so glad you can join me this morning. I know this is a little bit of a different atmosphere than what you're used to. This is my dining room, so welcome to my household. I'm Pastor Kevin from Plantation Community Church, and I am so glad that you're joining us this morning. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, please open and join with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The good thing about pre-recorded messages is that you can pause this video at any time to take some notes if I'm talking too fast, or if you just need to grab something, or if you need to refill your coffee, or anything that you need to do, you can pause and continue at any moment. So before we jump in, let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer together. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this morning. We're super thankful for technology and all that it does for us. And I pray, Lord, for all of our congregation, that as they may be gathered in front of their computer screen or a TV screen as they stream, Father, I pray that they would sense your Holy Spirit present with them in their living room or wherever they may be listening to this. God, we ask that you would open our ears and open our hearts, Lord, that we can hear from you this morning. Jesus, we're eager to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use me and this message to help us grow in our relationships with you, Father, especially in times like this. Father, we ask that you'll be with us, keep us safe, and we ask this in your mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You should be with me now in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the title for this morning's message is Gold and Silver or Wood and Clay. Gold and silver or wood and clay. And what I want to share with you is a translation Bible verse that I came across. This is an NLT, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. So if you have the NLT, you can read with me, but this is going to be like the groundwork for our message, and for the remainder of the message, we'll be reading out of the NIV. So the NLT says it like this: in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. And so we'll be looking at this idea that believers in Christ are compared to kitchen utensils. And one thing that's true in my life, and it's kind of followed me around my entire life, is that ever since I was a little kid, I never enjoyed doing the dishes. And maybe you can relate with me, but I came from a large home where there was a lot of siblings, and what that usually means with more people in the house, it means more utensils. And so what would often happen was I would be the one to get the task to wash the dishes. Now, the frustrating part is we had a dishwasher, but we did not use it to wash dishes. We used it to store things like oil and foods and stuff like that. And so what does that mean? That we had to wash every single dish by hand every single day. And this was like about a 1 or 2 hour job to do. It was a task. And because it was a task, we did not enjoy doing the dishes. And the worst time to do the dishes, if I also be honest with you, was around Thanksgiving time. And this is a time where we're supposed to be thankful, a time where we're supposed to be having a cheerful heart and a thankful heart of gratitude. But when you got the job to do the dishes, you were not thankful, and it showed. Why Thanksgiving? Well, think about it. You have more dishes. Every single dish is brought out. The nice dishes are brought out. It's a very special dinner. And what would often take place is instead of just using a fork for dinner, you would bring out all three utensils, the fork, the knife, and the spoon. And so this tripled the dishes every single Thanksgiving. So being a dishwasher was not a desirable task to do, as you will. But even getting married, even growing up and getting married, who would have thought that my wife's most undesired task to do would also be doing the dishes? And it's so ironic because our wedding song even has a line in there, and it says something like this: the wine we drink, dirty dishes in the kitchen sink. Who would have thought that this would follow me around, dirty dishes everywhere? And the frustrating part is I'm one of those neat freaks who have to have a clean kitchen. If there's anyone out there like me, I need to have a clean kitchen. But what does that mean? To have a clean kitchen, you must have an empty sink full are clean with clean dishes, every cabinet filled with clean dishes. So what does this mean? If I want my way of a clean kitchen, that means that I must have the dishes cleaned. And so it's like this battle that I have to play and go through because I do not like to do dishes. And quite honestly, I'm getting fed up with dishes. Like Malachi, he's getting to the height of where his head is just hitting that countertop. And I can't just wait until his head just goes over the countertop and his hands goes into the sink and starts to do the dishes for me. That's what I'm truly waiting for. But perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're like me, where this is a task, or perhaps there's another chore around the house that you just don't like to do. But for me, it's the dishes. And if you like to do dishes, you can volunteer at my house. Quite frankly, we can put you in hazmat clothing. You could come into my kitchen and you can clean the dishes for me. That would be a wonderful treat. And thank you. Just send me an email and volunteer for that. I appreciate it. But as we transition into the word this morning, I came across this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2. From the NLT, actually, and I began to dive into it deeper, looking at it and what it meant for us to be a kitchen utensil. And so what happens is that one thing that's true is that if you want to use a kitchen utensil, if they're dirty, you're for sure not going to use that kitchen utensil. And Paul introduces these two different forms of kitchen household utensils. The two forms is, one form is of honorable use, and that's the gold and silver. And then the other form of utensils is dishonorable use, and that's the wood and clay. And my question to you this morning is, which kitchen utensil are you desiring to be as you walk with the Lord? And so what we're going to do as we dive into the word together today is I'm going to give you three marks of a utensil that is of worthy use, and then three marks of a dishonorable utensil that is of no use. And so we'll be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, all the way to 26. And so if you can join me right now, we're going to read 2 Timothy 2:15 to 19, where we get our first mark of an honorable use of a utensil. Please join me as we read. In verse 15, Paul writes this: "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." So if you backtrack a little bit and you look at verse 15 again, we see this press to be presenting ourselves as approved workers for God. And this is a worthy, honorable use of a utensil. And the first mark of a worthy, honorable utensil is that we are handling the word of truth correctly. That you correctly handle the word of truth. And that's the first point of this morning's message, is that you handle the word of truth correctly. And this Paul's letter, he's mainly talking about what it means to be an approved worker for God. As we're looking at this, it's important to understand why Paul is writing to Timothy. Well, who is Timothy to Paul? If you look at the opening of this letter in verse 2, he actually addresses Timothy as his dear son. Now, we know that Paul did not have any biological children. So what does this mean? This means that Paul was likely a spiritual father to Timothy. In fact, Timothy was under Paul's teaching, and Paul was his mentor. So Paul is teaching to Timothy and reaching out to him while he's in prison. He's writing to him from a prison cell. But what's happening is that false teaching and false doctrines were beginning to start to take place and spread all around. What alarmed Paul was that the false teaching began to spread very fast. And we see in verse 15 that the honorable use was to correctly handle the word of doctrine. But in verse 16, Paul calls any false teaching godless chatter. And we're going to dive into that a little bit later. But this is a clear implication that if you're having false teaching, this is something that God is not a part of, that he is not even involved with a godless chatter. So then in verse 17, we see this, as Paul continues, we see this, this spreading idea of gangrene. And this is something that we can look into our world even right now. And I promise you, I did not plan this message around the coronavirus spread. But it becomes more reality when we see the truth of this taking place. We can see in our world how spreading of viruses and infectious diseases is taking place. But Paul is calling this spreading like gangrene. And one translation also says it that it spreads like cancer. And if you know anything about cancer, then you would understand gangrene a little bit as well. What cancer does is it spreads throughout the entire body and affects the entire person. And it spreads at a very rapid pace, and it just destroys. And this is the same thing with gangrene. Gangrene is a flesh-eating bacteria that it spreads at a rapid pace. And Paul's illustration was for Timothy to see how the infection can spread throughout the whole body, but he was trying to get this idea of spreading. And if you think even outside the body with viruses and bacteria and, you know, we sneeze in the air and if we're sick, that virus can land on somebody and they can breathe it in somehow and then they become under the same sickness that we were in. And that just spreads and spreads and spreads. You see even now with this coronavirus, how things are just positive cases are doubling and just continue to grow worldwide. But gangrene, though, when it infects, it kills the body tissue. It turns the body tissue black. And the only way to get rid of the gangrene infected areas is to remove it. And this was often done by surgery. What's interesting, though, is that Paul, he mentions two people to us here. He says Hymenaeus and Philetus. If you flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, this is what Paul has. This is how Paul has treated these two individuals. In verse 19, he writes to Timothy saying, "Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." So Paul is telling us how he has handled Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander from the last letter that he wrote to Timothy. But what's interesting is that Paul removed Hymenaeus and Philetus from the fellowship of the church. Because what they were doing, they were teaching falsely. They were spreading like gangrene, and Paul had to hand them over to Satan. The purpose of this treatment that Paul gave them was for doctrinal correction. But now going back to 2 Timothy, Paul's establishing in Timothy a sense of someone who is an approved worker for God, a workman who's approved by God, and instructing Timothy to not have anything to do with false teaching. Why? Well, because it's godless. And anything that is godless does not stand on any firm foundation of truth. And oftentimes, when one gives into heretical and false teaching, it corrupts the whole person and it makes them become even more ungodly. So if you want to be of honorable use, what we have to do is correctly handle the word of truth. This means taking it for what it is, interpreting the Bible passages for what the Bible teaches, and this is where we have to get our doctrine from. This is where we get our word of truth. And you handle this. It would be foolish to take the word of God and add to it something that does not belong. And there's even a caution of that in Revelations where the prophecy says that if anyone adds or takes away from the book of this prophecy, more will be added to their plagues. And so there's a seriousness about correctly handling the word of truth. And this is the first mark of honorable use as a kitchen utensil. If you're to be used by God, an honorable way to be used is to correctly handle the word of truth. And we get our second mark of truth here in 2 Timothy 20 and 21, as we're going to now read it from the NIV. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. So looking at this, the second mark of honorable use that we get is that you are keeping yourself pure. A utensil that is keeping itself pure is one that is of honorable use. And one thing that is certain right now is that if you go into your kitchen sink right now and grab something to eat, you are likely not going to grab a dirty utensil. You're likely to grab a clean utensil because honestly, if a kitchen utensil is dirty, we're not going to use it. And if you have to dig into the kitchen sink to get a dirty utensil, you're likely to clean that utensil before you use it. And in this part of the letter that we just read, Paul talks about a large house, and we can agree and we can see that a large house is also a wealthy house. But in this large house, where the house is a metaphor to understand the church, that the body of Christ, this is the large house. And in that large house, there's going to be people of honorable use and also people of not honorable use. And the believer in Christ is pictured and illustrated to be a utensil or a vessel for God. But now get this. If you want to be a vessel to be used by God, it must be clean. And it must be ready. And so this is what we're looking at, is that you must keep yourself pure. And to bring this into a little bit of an understanding, if you also went into your kitchen right now, you would see that there is two forms of different kinds of utensils. For instance, if you're holding a very special event or an occasion, you're likely to pull out your chinaware. It would be very unlikely for you to pull out utensils that make have no value to you for like a wedding feast or something like that. If you have special guests over your house, you will not pull out paper goods. If you look at the Bible and what this is meaning, the chinaware that we have in our kitchen today is like the gold and silver that Paul is talking about. This is something that's very precious. This is a precious and a valuable set. And then we have our plasticware. This is pretty much relatable to the whole wood and clay utensils that Paul's talking about. Plasticware and paper goods, they're not really valuable to us. Like once we use them, we often throw them out because we're done with them. But chinaware, you would never throw out unless if it breaks. And if it breaks, you probably will cry because you value this chinaware so much. And so as the way of describing it in this passage, we are like kitchen utensils. A believer walking with Christ is like a kitchen utensil. And as a follower in Christ, we are desiring to be of honorable purposes. And so what does that mean is that we are seeking for opportunities to be like that gold and silver utensil for that honorable use. When you live your life and you're keeping yourself pure, this is the mark of that honorable use, and this is the mark that God wants to use you. And this is kind of part of that whole entire sanctification process that we've heard before time and time again. The sanctification process is literally a process to become more like Christ. And this is the whole part of keeping yourself pure. That as you are growing in the Lord, you are looking at your failures, you're looking at your shortcomings, and seeing that Christ is going to pretty much transform you for His good work. And so you're becoming more like Christ, and it's a journey that is continuing, and it's on and on again. But this is a process to grow in Christ's likeness. And so as we are keeping ourselves pure, it is likely that when God goes into His kitchen sink or His kitchen, He's going to use utensils that are ready for the Master's good work. So this is a mark for us to make sure that we are keeping ourselves pure. Because it's going to be very unlikely for God to use somebody who is not living a life of righteousness. Time and time again, you see it throughout the scriptures, that God was having a very difficult time to use kings because they were not fearing the Lord at all. And so He would call up men and He would press upon men and women of the Bible who are living the righteous life. You think of Abraham, you think of all these different biblical characters who were of honorable use for God. And so this is what Paul is writing to Timothy, that if you want to be an honorable use, the gold and silver utensil, we need to keep ourselves pure. And that's the second mark that we get. And then we continue reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 to 26, where we get our third mark of honorable use. Paul writes, "Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because they know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gentle and instructed, and the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come into the sense, their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." The third mark of honorable use that we get from here, and it's going to be mostly out of verse 22, is that you are fleeing evil desires and that you are pursuing God. That you're fleeing evil desires and that you are pursuing God. Looking at verse 22, we see the sense of repentance, right? Like growing up, we were very childish. We had the youthful desires. We would run after things that wouldn't matter. We would chase things that wouldn't matter. And then we would turn from that, flee from that youth desire and pursue righteousness. This is that sense of repentance, that as you are doing one thing, you are changing your mind and going the opposite direction. This is that sense of repentance. And this is also a mark of maturity. You see, repentance is turning away from unrighteousness. Here we are seeing this push to flee from evil ways, to pursue things of godly morality, and to pursue righteousness, to pursue faith, love, peace, and a pure heart. And the mark of maturity, to turn from your youthful desires. You see, Paul hints at this in another letter of his when he wrote to the Corinthian church, and he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childhood ways." You see, a mark of maturity is a mark of fleeing from youthful desires and pursuing God and the things of his righteous kingdom. So we continue to see Paul giving Timothy a step further on how he can be an approved worker or an honorable utensil for the good master. But there's this urgency to flee our weaknesses. And truthfully, we all have them. We all have weaknesses. We all have something that makes us short of perfect. But the visual I want to give you is that of a runner. Somebody who is running. A runner is aggressively running away from the starting line, the beginning line. He is aggressively running away from that, relentlessly pursuing the finish line. And I want you to think of the starting line as the evil desires, the youthful desires, and the finish line as the kingdom of God. And yeah, sure, on this race, you may trip, you may stumble, you may fall, you may slip up. But you get back up and you continue to flee towards the finish line. And this made me think of also the author of Hebrews chapter 12, when he wrote this in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 2. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And that is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. If we want to be this worthy utensil, we must make sure that we are fleeing from our youthful desires and we're pursuing righteousness. That all the things that our hearts desire, the sinful desires that we have, that we are neglecting them. we're forsaking them and running to the cross, that we're running to righteousness and pursuing purity in the things of Christ. So this is what it means to be a worthy utensil, one that's going to be used by God. And so these are the three marks that we talked about. And so just to cover them again before we jump into the three dishonorable ones, the three honorable, useful utensils for God is three things: that you, one, are correctly handling the word of truth, two, that you're keeping yourself pure, and three, that you're fleeing from evil and you're pursuing God. And these are honestly three things that we are continually working on, that we're continually discovering the Word of God and growing in the Word of God, that we're also keeping ourselves pure on a daily basis. And then lastly, we're fleeing from the evil desires and we're pursuing God. And so these are your three marks. And now as we transition, as I covered these, I want this to serve as a way that we can work in our Christian life so that as we're walking with the Lord, this is something that we are constantly bringing ourselves back to so that we can continue to be an honorable use, a useful utensil in the kitchen of God. So now for the three dishonorable ones, this one will be much quicker. We'll run through these a little bit faster. But looking at verse 16 in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to bring your attention back to that. Paul writes, "Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly." The first dishonorable use of a utensil is having godless chatter. And honestly, this is something that as believers, if we want to be an honorable utensil for God, we can't have godless chatter. And for sure, Paul is talking about false teaching right here, absolutely. But I want you to think about it like this, that if you're in the church and you're gossiping, or if you're having quarrels and you're having, just things that are just not really going your way, or so to speak, that you are having false doctrine teaching and stuff like that, what's going to happen is you're not going to be really of any use. And I want you to think about it like this. If you're in a group with a group of non-believers, if you're around people who do not believe and agree with things that you believe in, what's going to happen is you're going to be around them and they're not going to have godly chat. They're not going to have godly conversations. But you would find yourself in the middle of their conversation. And if you start to talk just like them, you're going to be just like what Paul's talking about. You're going to have some godless chatter. And so I know that Paul's talking about false doctrine right here and teaching false doctrine. But this is also anything that is coming out of our mouth that is not sacred. Whenever we're talking about things and it's not of Christ, this means it's not going to be of God. And so I want you to think about that, is that as you're in your circles, if you're talking and saying things looking just like the world, you're not going to be able to be of any godly use. You see, what Paul says is that this corrupts the person and makes them even more so ungodly. And this is very true with false doctrine, but this is also true with gossip and the other things, lying and the things that we say. So we have to be careful with this, because when you become ungodly, you're no longer of honorable use. And that might be a hard pill for you to swallow. But even Jesus says in Matthew 12:30 that whoever is not with me is against me. And so Paul, how he addresses Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly." So refrain from godless chatter. And then now looking at the second mark, looking at verse 21, we see our second mark of dishonorable use of a utensil. "Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." The second dishonorable use of a utensil is not willing to be usable. Not willing to be usable. About 2 weeks ago, I went to Colorado and I was on a plane. And on that plane, what happened was I was watching a TV series, and that TV series was called God Friended Me. And it caught my attention. The title caught my attention. It's a very interesting series. It's not a Christian series, and I didn't know that going in, but the title said God Friended Me. And what this whole entire TV series was about was an atheist who would do podcasts and he would broadcast them all over so that he can get people to hear him talk negatively about God. And what was the truth about all of this is that he would start to get people following him, and then all of a sudden, something called the God account on Facebook friended him. And the God account would send him a friend suggestion, and somehow the atheist would run into that person in real life. And then what would happen after that is as he ran into that person in real life, what would take place is he was used by the God account to help that person in their life. And the entire show that this man is trying to figure out who's behind this God account. And then one day, one episode, the God account sends him a friend suggestion and he decides, you know what, I'm not going to do this. And so he completely ignores the fact that he was going to be used for the purpose for this person to get help. And all of a sudden, the God account unfriended him. It disappears. It goes missing. And I know, before you question my theology, I know this is not biblical. I know that's not biblical at all. But it made me think of this, that if we want to be useful to the master and prepared to do any good work, we need to be willing to be usable. We need to be willing to be usable. When you're not willing for God to use you, we would not be used for his good work. So we must be willing, or else we will be like the wooden clay that's used for everyday purposes. The second mark of dishonorable use is that you're not willing to be usable. And we get that from verse 21. Now, looking at verse 23 and 24, Paul writes for our third dishonorable mark, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful." The third mark of dishonorable use is that you are being argumentative. When you are being argumentative, you're honestly really hindering the word of God from going forward. And this is the danger. This is a dishonorable use of a utensil, that if you're a utensil in God's kitchen and you're arguing with people, even if they believe in the same things that you believe in, the dangers is that you're going to lose your brother or sister in Christ. And that's actually something that happened to me early on in my faith. I was arguing with a friend who, it was on the doctrine of free will and predestination. Not that these matter for this message at all, but what happened was we were arguing and we were bringing up passages. I was bringing up a passage, he was bringing up passages, and we're just going back and forth. Now, the embarrassing thing about all of this is that we were in public. And in public, everybody walking around us was able to see us. And I promise you, I'm not saying I'm holier than thou, but I was not yelling. I was not being that guy. But my friend, on the other hand, he was yelling at me so strongly that the veins in his neck were popping out. And this was so embarrassing because I had to stop him and I said, "Listen, if I'm right or if you're right, it doesn't matter at this point. Because the people around us who may not even believe in Christ are seeing how we're talking to each other and they're not seeing God in this. And so we are losing each other. And so when we're being argumentative, we're losing one another." So which is what I say to you as well, is that when you come with brothers or sisters in Christ, you should be not on the argumentative side, but on the side to open up the Word of God that you guys can dig into it together. And instead of arguing about it, be able to talk about it and discuss it and try to come up an understanding of your own. And this is where we get our third mark. The third mark of dishonorable use is when you are argumentative. Being argumentative over doctrine just makes you lose people. And people will not want anything to do with the God you believe in because of the fighting. So yes, Paul here was talking about fighting over false teachers. He for sure was. But this is any time any believer is quarrelsome or it can cause them to be of dishonorable use. So there you have it. We have our three marks of honorable use and our three marks of dishonorable use. But as we close, when we follow Jesus, I want you to know that you become a vessel in his hands. You become a utensil in the hands of God. And you're going to be used for the glory of God. Not your glory. You're going to be used for the glory of God. But when we fail God, yes, you will become a dirty utensil. But the good news and the reassurance that we have of the Word of God is that when we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us of our unrighteousness and cleanse us. And so the good news about this is that when you do fall, when you do are running that race and you do slip and stumble, the good news is that Jesus is going to open His arms of forgiveness and extend grace to you because He's desiring to use you for honorable purposes. So when you're cleansed, you're called to a higher purpose. And the higher purpose is that you are called to be set apart. And Peter writes this in his letter, 1 Peter 15 and 16. He says, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So to be holy is to be set apart because God is holy and we are not. And so God is holy. And because He's holy, He's set apart from us. And it is up to us in our efforts to be of a useful, honorable utensil to also walk in the holiness and righteousness of God. When we're walking in holiness, we are setting aside for His special use, and we're setting also aside apart from sin and the influence that sin may have. We can't become holy on our own either. This is why we need the body of Christ. This is why we need you. This is why we need each other. And so we, if we want to be holy, if we want to have that holiness, we need the accountability of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that rose Christ from the dead is the same power that is living and abiding in you to walk in holiness. So my prayer for you today is that you would strive to be the utensil of honorable use. That you would strive to be the utensil of gold and silver, not of wood and clay. The wood and clay is still a utensil in the house of God, but it's not. The wood and clay utensil is really much more for the everyday use. But the gold and silver is for those special purposes. Do you want to be a special purpose for God? Do you want to be a utensil that God can look to and use in this world today? So we serve a God who uses broken vessels and broken utensils all the time. Instead of focusing on our failures, though, allow us to see our weaknesses as strengths in God's eyes, where He can come through in His power to pull us through and use us in His mighty ways. So thank you so much for joining me. Before we close, I just want to close with a word of prayer. So please join me as we pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message. I pray, Lord, that you would use this word as a way to convict us and strengthen us. And I pray, Jesus, that as we follow you, you would be open, you'll open up opportunities for us to be used for your honorable purposes. I thank you, Lord, for the illustration that Paul has compared us to being utensils. Help us desire, Lord, to be gold and silver utensils. Help us, Jesus, to pursue righteousness and purity and live a righteous life, especially in times such as these, Lord, where we need you even so more. Father, I pray for your gospel to still go forward in this time, that as we are in this situation, you will continue to give us new ways and opportunities to be used for your glory. So help us, Father, to live for you, Jesus. And it is in your mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen. So, church, thank you so much for joining me. We at Plantation Community Church are for sure praying for all of you. If you have any needs, please make sure that you're reaching out to us. But please go now, even in quarantine, living for the purpose of Christ, that you are setting yourself aside to be of honorable use. Until we see you guys again, virtually again next week, God bless you all and take care.